Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend we prepare for the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let's go through our checklist, my friends. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart wide open for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions at this time? Check. And if you've answered yes to those four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 2, and chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. And here it is. Vanity of vanities, says Koheleth, vanity of vanities. All things are vanity. Here is one who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and yet to another who has not labored over it, he must leave property. This also is vanity and a great misfortune. For what profit comes to a man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun? All his days' sorrow and grief are his occupation. Even at night his mind is not at rest. This also is vanity. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, my friends, we are reminded today that all things are vanity. And that we have to identify the true things that are of great value in the eyes of God, such as eternal life, such as the love of God, such as the peace of God, and the Word of God, which surpasses all understanding. But for you and I, my friends, to move in those directions, we truly have to be at peace with ourselves. For what profit comes to man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun? Day in and day out, we are a culture of workers who rise to the occasion each and every day for 30, 40, 50 years of work. But there's much more to it, to this life which God has given us. And as we prepare for eternal life, there's much, much more to this life that we have at this very moment. My grandfather, many years ago, who was a hat maker in New York City, he worked for 65 years making hats, and he had a very, very nice business, raised four children, and had a beautiful residence in New York City. And he died June 4th, 1975, at the age of 79 years old. All of us will have that moment where God calls us home. And before he does, is there any change that you and I would like to make, so that we are not truly missing the moment, missing the precious present, focusing on material things only and not the love of God, the peace of God in our relationships with other people. And with that, we acknowledge the fact that you and I may have to make some changes, because God tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes that all his days, sorrow and grief are his occupation. Even at night, his mind is not at rest. So whether you're working for yourself in your own business, working under corporate America or in the government, are you at rest? Are you at peace? Are your priorities God first and you second? Or is God last on the list, maybe not even part of your vocabulary, week in and week out? This also is vanity and a great misfortune, we are told in the book of Ecclesiastes. God is giving us this message as a reminder to make some changes and look at what is really of great value in life as we live it. Most people don't find God until something occurs in their life. The loss of a loved one, something striking that occurs that's heart-touching. And today, here at Holy Spirit Radio, we focus on the fact that life is worth living, but life offers much, much more than just our occupations, our work. I know in the WINGS program that we have taught inmate reentry work and programs and recovery as well, that the occupation, the work, the vocation is part of the whole, but it's not the whole. Work is actually number four in the list. We have God first and then you and then family and then work. And we have to be careful that we balance our work and our family together to not lose the family. We have to be careful that we balance the community service that we'd like to do with our family as well, once again, to not lose our families to serving others. And the same thing with hobbies and sports. The family is so important. And we see many people, you know, going outside the home, taking care of other kinds of business to include work and community service and hobbies and sports. But we must make sure that our families are taken care of, that they are a higher priority, and that we are not workaholics, unable to rest at night, as the passage says, unable to put aside the vocation that we have, the occupation that we have, but we can rest with our loved ones when we come home. This, my friends, is important. So if you have changes to make because you qualify as a workaholic, make those changes today. Because life is not forever, and it would be a sad thing to lose those opportunities with our loved ones who are no longer here. And so we make that change before those things occur and make the most of the moment, the precious present, to enjoy the gift of life, the gift of quality time. And we're at peace with the knowledge that God has given us everything, including the gift of time, which is so precious. Let's go to our second reading from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 and 9 to 11. And here it is, from our good friend St. Paul. Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ your life appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self. What is being renewed for knowledge is the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And it's a great message that we are given today from the voice of St. Paul, my friends, to seek what is above. Are we doing that? Are we seeking the love of God from heaven above? Are we seeking out the peace of God that only he can provide and that surpasses all understanding? Are we seeking out eternal life? Are we pursuing it? Are we preparing for it by lining up with what God says to do and not to do? Or are we only focused on earthly things, as St. Paul points out? Are we materialistic? Are we ego-driven? Living up to the Joneses? Having to have the possessions that we see other people possess? Or are we free of that philosophy, living up to the Joneses? Certainly, God wants us to be happy. But are we happier with him or without him? Because God says we can not serve two masters. We either serve God or serving something else. I want you to think about that, my friends, because in our attempt to live a good life, the pursuit of earthly things, extra homes and cars and vacations and all kinds of material things to fill up our homes and our lives, that take time away from serving God. And St. Paul says it this way: put to death some of those things that are getting in the way of our service to God, getting in the way of our relationship with God. Number one, immorality. We have to be careful. Just recently, I was up in New York City and went up to 42nd Street and saw just the streets littered with people who were in all kinds of situations, from walking around naked to smoking marijuana to drinking alcohol. And the street was littered with immorality. And I said to myself, this will be the last time that I make this trip up to 42nd Street. And we had gone up to the Vanderbilt Museum on the east side, but had stopped there to go to the Hard Rock Cafe. But my friends, truly, there is a culture of immorality that's out there that's drawing us in and day out, drawing our children in. And it's up to you and I to do whatever we can do through the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ to avoid those immoral people and the immoral activity that takes place in cities throughout the world. And we use New York as an example because I was just there. And having grown up there, I have a great love for New York, but it has changed as cities around the world have changed because of the degradation of society. We see God's morals, values, and ethics, his biblical principles, removed from society, removed from various entities, and being replaced by standards which are acceptable to everyone except for God. God's standard is the standard. Our standards should be God's standards. Whatever God tells us to do, we should be lined up with that and not replace God's standard with something that we want to have. This is important. And it's relative, my friends, to our families out there today who are struggling with their children doing all kinds of things on Friday and Saturday nights, from sleepovers with boyfriends and girlfriends to, undisciplined alcohol drinking, undisciplined driving under the influence, all kinds of situations that you and I will take on as parents and grandparents. But with God's help, my friends, with an adherence to the Word of God, we can avoid those situations. And it's not easy. It takes work to keep our kids free of the draw, which comes through television, computer, tablets, internet, telephone. It's out there every day. And you and I have to be strong enough to fight it off, to fend it off, and to become activists so that we can build up the kingdom of God versus this society of immorality, which is very prominent each and every day, seen on the news, seen on television. We have to do whatever we can do. And St. Paul goes on to talk about, put to death your impurities, your passion, evil desire, and greed. What are you passionate about? Are you passionate about the wrong things versus godly things? Because St. Paul is trying to correct this. Passion, zeal, and enthusiasm for the Word of God, for the love of God, the peace of God. Passion, zeal, and enthusiasm for traditional marriage between one man and one woman. Passion, zeal, and enthusiasm for the unborn child. It's protection, it's defense against a society who wants to take it down. Passion, zeal, and enthusiasm for our senior citizens, for great care in nursing homes and hospitals and private homes. Passion is a good thing, but when we're passionate about things that are going against God's principles, morals, values, and ethics, then passion should not be present any longer. But you and I are passionate for the right things, my friends. And we want to develop that passion and become activists and continue to educate, motivate, and inspire other people, including our children, who need to know the right way to go. Don't wait for someone to teach them the wrong way to go. And then we have to make that correction. Get it off the start. Like a horse coming out of the gate, your children, my children and grandchildren, need to be guided and directed with blinders on for the end prize, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven, eternal life, the traditions of marriage and family life as God sees it. Be passionate for the right things, my friends. versus the wrong things. Very important. St. Paul talks about stop lying to one another. I have seen people lie to my eyes and were passionate about it and believed the lie they were telling. God calls us to stop lying, to tell the truth, to be honest, sincere, respectful, accountable, reliable, dependable, to be trustworthy. God calls us once again to stop lying to our parents. Stop telling lies, white lies, to get people off your back. Stop lying to your grandparents. In doing inmate reentry work and recovery from substance abuse work, I have seen people tell all kinds of stories so that they can look good. God calls us to stop telling lies, to tell the truth, to take off the old self and to put on a new self, which is the image of God. We want to be more Christ-like. Take off our old selves. It's like buying a new suit, a new coat, a new dress. Get rid of the old and take on the new. And get rid of all of the old and bring in the new, my friends. It's a new season right now. We're starting a new month of August. Now is the time for you and I, my friends, to get rid of the old things and take on the new things that are rooted in Christ, rooted in the Word of God, rooted in the love of God, the peace of God. Now is the time to make that decision. And you do it right now here on Holy Spirit Radio. Let's go to our gospel reading. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life may be consistent of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods. And I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great message for all of us today, my friends, as we can all get caught up in earthly things once again, in possessions. But again, what does God say about it? What matters to God? What is important in God's eyes? God said to him, to this man who decided to store up many good things for many years and then to rest, to eat, to drink, and be merry, to be happy amidst the challenges of the world, the poverty within the world, the sadness, the depression, those stricken with disease and illness, to just rest, eat, drink, and be merry. The philosophy of I and me. I've got mine. It doesn't matter if you have yours, as long as I've got mine. That's the problem in the world today. Many years ago, I visited Mother Teresa's home up in North Jersey and had a chance to see how her sisters lived. And one of the great philosophies they lived by was the us and we mentality versus the I and me. They owned nothing individually, but together they owned everything and they shared it. And possessions were not prominent within their home. Each sister owned two saris, two gowns. In between the single beds was a bucket of water in which they washed the gown and then hung it in the closet to dry. But it was an us and we mentality, not an I and me. Today, we see that I and me mentality prominent, very prevalent, and we've got to fight against it. There are homes where everybody has a television in each room and everybody is separated. Today it's computers and iPhones and tablets. But what is important to God? What matters most to God? And God tells us in the Gospel of Luke today, He reminds us that we take none of this with us. We can take none of it with us. We're born into the world empty-handed. We leave empty-handed. The most powerful gift we ever had was the gift of time, and that is now exhausted. And God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves." And that's their focus, storing up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters most to God. Are you and I rich, my friends, in what matters most to God? Are we rich in love for other people, love for our neighbors? Are we rich in word and action, bringing the love of God to the hearts and minds to other people? Are we rich in family life with children and grandchildren? Things that matters most in the eyes of God. Are we rich in health? Good health for years. Are we rich in family life where our parents have been with us for a long time? Think about, my friends, your philosophy, how you live your life today. And if you need to make changes, I challenge you to do it right now here at Holy Spirit Radio. That's our show for today, my friends. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. We'll see you next time here on Clear for Takeoff and Holy Spirit Radio. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.